Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's going to be a day. I need a splinter extracted from my hand today. Hey, I got mucus in my mouth. My throat feels like it closed today. Hey, it's going to be a so-so day. Hey, I hope it's actually a great day and a great weekend for all of you. And remember, anybody who has served as well Memorial Day weekend, it's Mraz, it's Bogish. We are in the two fathers, Pete and DA, getting ready, I'm assuming, to take their children home soon and start their lives. Who drives faster on the way home, Bogues, Pete or DA?
I would normally say Pete because it's baby number two, and in my experience, baby number two got the highway, was barely buckled in when we left the hospital after driving 5 miles per hour on back streets to get my Abby home, number one. But Pete's also Pete, and he doesn't handle things the way most of us do. So he still may be on the back streets, the side streets, but I don't know. Pete's a tough read. My guess is it's still Pete, but maybe not in the blowout that we would normally expect.
Could you imagine Pete pulling out of the hospital? And you're right. For anybody that's had a kid, I'm sure you could relate. That first kid, when you drive them home, there is this feeling of almost not trusting yourself, right? The baby feels so small in that car seat. You're all scared, yet excited. You're overwhelmed with emotion. You put that blinker on to turn out of the hospital. No matter how long the drive is, you're right, it might be a back streets way. You may have no choice but to get on a highway, but that's a right-hand lane. I am going, you know, not over the speed limit at all. That second kid, after you've already done it the first time, you might as well floor it and turn out of the parking lot on two wheels.
You're going through the drive-thru on the way home, getting lunch.
You want a little Dunkin', a little iced coffee. It is a whole, you just realize that the baby's a lot stronger than you give it credit for, but so DA, I think, will drive extremely slow on the way home. But could you imagine Pete, hazards on, extremely slow, baby in the backseat, and pulling up and flashing your brights or beeping behind Pete because he's going too slow?
I mean, it's on the table that Pete asked the local police department for an escort or asked friends to drive to make like a diamond formation around his car as like a buffer, and there's like a five car like conglomerate just rolling down the Grand Central Parkway. All those things are in play for Pete.
It is very, very much in play. But we hope they have a good weekend.
Pete's listening, by the way. So good morning, Pete. Hi, Kerry.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good for Pete.
Congrats, Pete.
Yeah,
love you, buddy.
No days off for Pete. Hard hat guy. Boyle, calm down. You're still gonna get your shifts no matter what. All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my shifts running board and producing on Monday.
Whoa.
Ouch.
I sense a little sensitivity there.
No. That's not against Pete. That's against the, all the younger guys that work at this station that want to try to move up the ladder, yet nobody's available on a holiday. Here's Patty.
Oh.
Good for you, though, Boyle. Good for you.
Wow, Pat throwing shots. Now, Pat, is that true? There's a lot of young guys at the station that just made themselves unavailable Memorial Day weekend?
Absolutely.
I don't like that. I don't like that because I will tell you, all hard hat guy jokes aside, I know we make a lot of kidding, Pete the Body was one of these people. I was one of these people. And a lot of the people you've probably heard behind the scenes, CBS Sports Radio, Tom DeCelestino, I know was like this because he interned under me. When you get hired in radio, it is not as glamorous out the gate as you maybe had dreamed in college. Okay, there's a lot of grunt work that needs to be done. And you are never, I mean, it's the extreme rare case where you were hired right out of college for a full-time salary, full-time job in radio. You were oftentimes hired as a part-timer, paid at an hourly rate to cut highlights, learn some board shifts, work a lot of overnights, holidays, all of that. But part of, like, where you kind of earn your trust with bosses is it's a 24/7 365 industry, including overnights and holidays. And when the holidays come around on the holiday weekends, I just know this, for 2 years it was non-negotiable. I was going to work 12 hours on Christmas. I was going to miss Thanksgiving Day. I was going to be here all of Memorial Day weekend, the 4th of July. And oftentimes the guys that you will see hired in radio that eventually go on to have big careers are guys that did that for multiple years. And it's oftentimes the people that didn't, because, you know, there's more of a sense of entitlement, I think, now. A couple, you know, 10 years later since I've done this, for which is crazy because I feel entitled. But no, now think about this to the extreme. And I think Boyle's got a point. Boyle, this is why, though, you're high up on the depth chart places, because you don't say no. You don't say, I'm going to the beach, I'm unavailable to work. You should be here as a part-timer.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And I also like to think I have a little bit of talent, but no, absolutely. This is what you got to do to set yourself apart. And unfortunately, that's why there's a big turnover rate, because a lot of people get hired. It's not the glamorous yep. job they think it is. And it's, let me go run back to mommy and daddy. I quit.
Wow. Mm. So Boyle's fired up. So Boyle,
seriously,
Boyle will be here all weekend. He's a hard hat guy, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong. And by the way, don't look now. So you're saying there's a lot of people. That means a lot of people, Pete the Body, is hired, aren't willing to work holiday. What does that say about management?
No. Don't say that. Don't say that. That's like, you know, you can't. That's like drafting a guy in the NFL that turns out to be a troublemaker. In the Las Vegas Raiders case, which we're going to get to here shortly, there's a little.
Segue, oh, now he's producing.
Yeah, there's a little on-air producing segue coming. With them, it feels like it's a pattern. But with other teams, you know, if it happens once or twice, it's tough to tell the true character of somebody.
I think it's fair to question Pete's vetting process.
Look, if a GM flops on his quarterback pick, like Joe Douglas with the Jets, getting a lot of credit for Rodgers, guess what? He failed at drafting Zach Wilson second overall. Should be remembered for that. That's on Pete. That's on Pete. By the way, I love how Pete had a kid. We still can't leave him alone. We found out he's listening. We're on him even more.
Yeah. Let's go through the facts here just for a second. Carlos with a K, right? This is a military vet. Speaking of Memorial Day Veterans
that's
Day.
That's a home run hire by Pete.
Right.
By the way, I know he's not available tonight because he asked me if I was going to the Yankee game. He made sure to get tickets.
But Carlos did Sean dirty earlier this week by not having the right Matthew Tkachuk overtime goal in the system. Yep. So how can Pete predict that? That's not on Pete. But is Jack Stern on Pete? Should Jack Stern's craziness been sniffed out by Pete?
This is all I will say. Pete has an uncanny ability of the moment somebody questions somebody behind the scenes or has a problem to throw his hands up and go, that guy wasn't my guy. And
it's amazing.
You start hitting him up and go, do you have any guys?
Yeah, he's never hired anybody the way he tells it.
Right. All I hear about is he's bringing this person, and the moment they go awry, Pete had nothing to do with them. It's pretty interesting.
He didn't have Jack Stern read one script with names in it just to see if he knew how to pronounce normal English words.
Very, very interesting. By the way, is Jack in the building?
He's not, no.
All right, we will tell a story a little bit later on, a little more in detail, now that Jack's not here and I don't have to worry about dealing with it in the newsroom. Jack does not like Bob Morish, Bob the Deli. That's your tease.
Or CBS Sports Minutes.
That is your tease. Jack Stern does not like my father. Okay, well, we'll discuss that in a little bit. First, the Las Vegas Raiders. I thought two different stories came out, one from Vegas, one from New York, that tell a story of maybe the Raiders still being a very dysfunctional franchise. Maybe this is a me problem, but I was kind of under the impression that Mark Davis, while being a big doofus, the Raiders had made the playoffs 2 years ago. Okay, we got to pin things on Derek Carr going on. They hired Josh McDaniels. They felt more stable as an organization. I mean, last year we were talking about how great the AFC West could be, and we were including the Raiders in that conversation. They end up having a bad year with Josh McDaniels. And now there's been all sorts of back and forth because Davante Adams may not be happy. They bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think now we have breadcrumbs that the Raiders are pretty dysfunctional. And we heard from Davante Adams. Let's play that audio here.
It's never my intention to bring any type of negative attention or, you know, throw off the focus of the team or whatever, which did not happen, by the way. We got a lot of guys in here that know me well by this point and know my intentions. No, I just want to win. I'm here to try to win a Super Bowl like everybody else is on their team. So that's really my only focus. I'm not really – the thing is with me, and I'm unapologetically me. You know, at the end of the day, I truly do not care what people have to say. So when I'm clearing things up and talking about this stuff, a lot of times it's me protecting other people that were involved. Like, I don't ever want Jimmy to feel a way, think that I didn't want him here, or I don't like him, or I don't want Josh to feel like, you know, or, you know, I post a picture with Ziggs, and then they're like, oh, is it Josh that that must be the real problem. So y'all can do that. If you're that bored, like, go play Monopoly or some shit.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that was yesterday. That was him defending, raising doubts about the Raiders' offseason and the offense and whatnot. So he's trying to walk back a couple of critical things said about his team.
And with everything with that, the Raiders themselves, including Josh McDaniels, had comments about Davante Adams. And I'm just going to read this. McDaniels said, I respect the bleep out of anything that he would say or suggest, anything like that. During the course of the process of trying to improve our team, which I know where Davante comes from, he's a competitor. He wants to win, and that's really his sole focus. And that's what he does here every day. He's here pushing himself, pushing his teammates. He's been a tremendous leader again this spring for our football team. And Adams, of course, saying he's unapologetically me. So I find this really interesting because what do we crush the NBA for more than anything? Players run league. The players make the calls. We kill the idea of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving making all the calls, or LeBron James being the true GM in LA. And you're getting a little bit of a sense of that. The Raiders know that they don't really have a true franchise quarterback. They bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. Their star player is Davante Adams. They are in a spot where they want to sell season tickets here in Vegas. They don't want to be in a spot where Davante Adams is being traded just because he's unhappy. They are placating everything. Instead of just making a call and saying, we didn't like Derek Carr, we like Jimmy Garoppolo, our players are going to deal with it, they are placating and supporting Davante Adams, trashing them as an organization. That's what they're doing. They're support. And the second story that comes out of this is yesterday, Darren Waller at OTAs, and look, you're talking about guys running in shorts, puts on a bit of a show. He's catching deep balls from Daniel Jones, all the New York media's oohing and aahing. Look how good Darren Waller looks. And Darren Waller takes to a podium, and they ask him basically what he likes about being here, and he says something to the effect of, they actually listen to us here, paraphrasing a little bit. You know, they asked me flat out the things I like to do well. They actually listen to us here and take that, crediting Brian Daboll. He's essentially trashing Josh McDaniels and maybe to a lesser extent, John Gruden. So, I mean, I get the sense right away that now I have heard from multiple players, one still there, one not there. They do not like the direction of the franchise. They essentially don't like the Josh McDaniels run operation. And now the Raiders are in a spot where they are going to do everything they can to keep Davante Adams happy, even if that means trashing the team. The Raiders are just as dysfunctional as they once were with Al Davis here, folks.
Yeah, I kind of actually do like Josh McDaniels saying that Davante, in theory, that Davante Adams has earned the right to have opinions and to voice them and to have them heard and processed. But like, there's no way he's happy with the fact that he went there to play with Derek Carr. Now Derek Carr is gone. And
right?
I think maybe even shy of getting to Mark Davis, I think this is specifically about Josh McDaniels. And maybe he didn't learn his lessons from Cleveland and going back to New England. And maybe he's just not a head coach. And no matter what the GM will do, no matter what Mark Davis may be trying to do to right other parts of the organization, maybe he made a bad hire in a head coach in Josh McDaniels. And all the other things won't matter because he just is incapable of getting 53 guys together in the right direction, doing what's best for all of them and as a collective group. And I also think, P.S., I'll be the shameless guy that plugs stuff now. If you've got a top 30 Giants podcast,
yeah,
I think you've got yourself a topic in here too, because Darren Waller is confirming what seems to be almost inarguable now, is that the flip of Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas apparently is Brian Daboll with the Giants, that they could not have made a better decision in finding a new head coach because of what they did in the field last year, the way they're going this offseason, and has there been a bad peep about the Giant organization since Daboll and Shane came aboard?
No. As a matter of fact, they feel like one of the most well-run organizations suddenly in football. It's been a complete turn. Remember, there was like a crazy radio guy, by the way, who guaranteed that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll wouldn't be fired in 2 years like their previous.
Yeah.
I think he put his job on the line, too, and he said,
good decision.
You know, he would quit. And people would have said, how could you do that? Man. You know, I think that radio host also gets a lot of stuff wrong and always is reminded when he's wrong. It's funny. I don't remember anybody telling that radio host that he was right when he's right.
Well, is he?
That's interesting.
Is he all the way right just yet? Have we reached the limit, the expiration date?
I think Darren Waller might be confirming that he was right. I think a playoff spot last year for the first time in 5 years might be confirming that he was right.
Mm.
It's just interesting.
It's a fair point. I would also say that there's always going to be room to criticize putting his job on the line. I think that might have been where the surprise really came from his his coworkers. If I remember the clips correctly, that they couldn't believe that he was willing to lose his job over two strangers running his favorite football team. Not the fact that he believed in them, but the believed to the extent of I'll go home and not have a paycheck if this doesn't work.
Yeah, well, he's going to have a paycheck.
Yeah, we know. He's got like six of them.
That's Mraz money. That's Mraz money. By the way, speaking of putting in the time on the weekends, I should also remind you, if you want to hear any more of me, I will be on BetQL this Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon on a holiday weekend with Chris Mack on Five Star Weekend. A little plug there, a little cross.
There you go. So we can hear you there. We can read Jack Stern at CBSSportsRadio.com. Boyle will be in different places this weekend. If you need me, you can call me. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, you can find Bogus putting together a projector tonight. All right, we come back. Boy, I think we might have to deduct a half and wink. We're going to have to discuss what's happened with Greg Caserta. We will not be doing Canadian bacon next segment, and it begs the question, can he get five oinks? Plus, I will tell you why Jack Stern hates my father, and you were stunned to a news. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
$10 a month to put AC on for a couple hours a day. Leave it on. I'm sweating. Get them out.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the DA Show, Memorial Day Friday here. The Target Demo Friday meme has been released. It's Baby Blocks. It's Bogish. I mean, I'm sorry. It's DA. It's Bilotti. Mm. It's Big Baby. It is a baby crawling. It's the Pelicans, the baby that you find in the cake down there in New Orleans. Let us know where you're listening, how you're listening. At Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish. And we'll read those 9:40 a.m. Eastern, 6:40 a.m. Pacific. I'm sure backwards Brian's already complaining that we haven't read his, so.
And I talked to Ian Eagle yesterday, by the way, post-show.
Did you?
And
you were talking to a lot of people yesterday.
Yeah, I was all over the place, being a journalist. Ian's actually starting a business of birth announcements. He says like the birth announcements cameo. He's making that. We're workshopping a name for this operation, so I think I'm a small investor in it. But you too may soon be able to have Ian announce the birth of your kid.
How about bird rights?
So that's not bad. He just was going to call it birth. I said it really should be stork to fit into the eagle birdman kind of motif. But it's up in the air. I don't want to tell all of our business secrets on the air because things aren't trademarked and patented and whatever yet. But let's just say it's worth having another kid if you can get Ian to announce its arrival.
Okay.
Hell, I'll have a kid if Ian can do that for me.
Right.
By the way, I did get a text from Pete yesterday as well. DA had Ian Eagle announce the birth of his kid. And you could tell there is a tinge of feeling one-upsness as DA had Ian Eagle announce it and Pete had me announce the birth of his kid.
Not Hulk Hogan or Roman Reigns or somebody.
So we had that going on.
By the way, you're disgusting, Sean.
Yeah.
Why?
Sending the picture of your mucus to us?
Well, Pete wants to be a funny guy and say, what's wrong with my throat? I'm going to send him a picture of all the mucus that's come out of my mouth today.
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't need to see that personally.
Right. You can just send it just to Pete.
I mean, Boyle, the disgusting things I'm sure you do between the bed sheets, you can deal with a picture of my mucus.
But he doesn't send it to us.
Right, but don't say I've never seen anything so gross. Does anybody remember what Pat Boyle wrote in his script yesterday? We'd tell him not to read for Canadian bacon? I do.
I'd rather hear and read and see that than see your overrun tissue full of I don't even know what.
All right, well, neither here nor there. What the damage is done.
The damage surely has been done.
We've hit on a lot of the Celtics heat so far this morning. For anybody tuning in going, where's my sports? Go back on the rewind. We will have more of that at 9 a.m. So we were supposed to do Canadian bacon here. We are not doing Canadian bacon here, which begs the question, deduct a half an oink or not deduct a half an oink? By the way, Boyle will be the oinker today.
Greg, incorrect. We've asked Billy to do it because Billy's did a good job yesterday and he's objective in the process.
Why Boyle, you leave the kid alone?
No. Boyle, competitor, you're a competitor. I need to be kind of the judge of the oinker. So we need another party, and Billy's going to do it.
Wow, I don't like this because, remember, I have once graded an oink, and I was extremely honest. I think I gave Boyle like a 4.5. People forget that when Pete was out one day
last
year.
Thanks for reminding us.
All the hats I wear. I think that we've seen Boyle do the bacon. I think it's only fair to put Boyle under the pressure of seeing what it's like to judge somebody's bacon and grade it. I really think I was looking forward to that. But, look, you guys made a call without me. What are you going to do? Okay. But Greg Caceres texted us. Can we move bacon at 8:20 a.m. Eastern? I got more work to do. He's now complaining about his workload, and he's moving the bacon. So now we're going to do Stun the News in a couple minutes. So I just—
At least he's here, though.
He is, but the question is asked, though. Deduct a half an oink or not? Is it now impossible to get a 5-oinker if you're making I've never once— Now, I might complain at what time I have to do bacon, but I've never formally asked the A to move bacon. Fair?
I can't remember all of the times. I will point out that all week bacon was at 9:20. Today it went to 7:20 for I don't know exactly why. And
because we have different audiences every hour, and different audiences, depending on the hour, should be entitled to hear a little bit of everything.
Okay, that's fair. But I also do understand the problem that Caserta is in, so I have no issue with moving it back an hour. So I do not think this requires anything close to a point deduction.
Okay, so you guys scoring at home can make that call. You can make that call. But remember, you know, when I got no cuts in the system, no everything else, if it's at 7:20, I just got to do it at 7:20, no complaints. So, again, we've moved the goalposts for everybody else.
Oh, my goodness. Or you could have taken the extra 5 seconds. And or, you know, as we learned with Chubby Bunny, you can get here earlier than you normally get here. So give yourself some more time to go through the system and find a cut or two that maybe doesn't exist. Or read a slug so you know you're playing the wrong Matthew Tkachuk overtime winner.
Bogus. We still have another full week and then another 2 weeks coming up where it's just me and you, pal. Let's tread lightly. We don't need to be fighting like this already.
Well, I'll switch. I'll stay home next time.
First of all, was there not a... Bogus, would you like to as well? Did I not say that?
You did suggest none of us come in today. That is true, except for Boyle.
Exactly.
But here I am, hard hat.
Hard hat guy.
Thank you.
Big time hard hat guy.
Thanks, Pat. Glad you noticed.
Now, here we go. We have to ask the question, is Jack Stern banned from Bob's Bar forever? So Bob's Bar show coming up June the 16th. Huge event. Bagpipes will be played. Songbirds of Our Generation sung. Katie Lynn and Dole with Gadgets. Badlands Booker with Belches. There is a lot going to be happening.
Oil your boil.
Oil your boil. A whole thing. All right? Yesterday, I in the newsroom, and I think I briefly mentioned it to start the show, you know, my dad kind of looking at Randy Levine, the Yankee executive, as we were in a very fancy elevator, talking about DFAing Josh Donaldson. And I was talking about Randy Levine kind of dressed in like a wrinkled Old Navy button down, somewhat what I would be wearing today, that kind of deal. And Jack Stern, instead of just laughing and saying your dad's crazy or, you know, all having fun, you know, kind of understanding some tongue-in-cheek stuff, goes, why would your dad ever say anything to an executive at the Yankees? Why would he ever do that? I hate people that do that. Just keep your mouth shut. I hate people that do that. I don't like that your dad. I don't like that your dad did that. Why? Like, Mraz, you should step in and tell your dad not to say anything to anybody. So what he said, right? And it got really awkward and uncomfortable in the newsroom, Bogus. Is that fair to say?
It was immediate. It wouldn't even, it was inappropriate to say if you weren't there, but he said it right back to your face. It was so awkward that we had to talk Caserta back into the newsroom. He wanted to go home. He was so put off by that
you heard
interaction.
Me wrong?
No, we heard you right this time, and it wasn't good.
Manning.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday exactly. Morning?
Was it only yesterday or was it two mornings ago?
Yesterday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I needed to take a lap.
Yeah.
I was here 90 seconds.
You needed to take a, in a good way, though. Not like a, hey,
yeah,
go take
no,
a lap,
no.
Pal.
I needed to walk away, and I walked with Billy. We went to the break room and just got coffee. I know what we're talking about. I don't know the specifics of it.
So basically, Randy Levine was in a fancy elevator.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah now I
and
got
I mean,
it.
And I kind of, you know, talked about my dad being in an elevator. Why are you going to DFA Josh Donaldson? And Jack Stern exploded. Basically, nobody should ever talk to anybody of importance.
Why would someone do that? Why would possess someone to do something like that?
Exactly.
That's Shut up!
He knows no limits.
It's 5:30 in the morning! This fake enthusiasm is excruciating.
But
I don't want to talk about the business. So what would you recommend? I don't care. I woke up 40 minutes ago. I slept for 2 hours. I don't want to deal with it.
Hubba hubba.
Get a clue. Read the room.
Wow.
Wait till 9 a.m.
Caserta, you're right. Man,
no.
If you put this much energy into bacon, we
I've
have one
had
right
it.
Now.
I'm done with that.
Wow.
All right, well, so now I ask the question, is Jack Stern banned from Bob's Bar? If he questions Bob and why he could say anything to a Yankee executive, do we have to ban him?
See, I think the first question is, before we make a decision on Jack's status, is if Jack really disliked your dad behavior that much, he shouldn't come to Bob's Bar. On principle, he should not come and pay his respects to your dad's establishment if he thinks your dad is such a heathen.
That's a true statement. I think I know why Jack said that, though. I think we found out a little something.
Yeah?
Does anybody remember, and the listeners may, because we can't ask you to listen to all 4 hours of every single show, when Carlos with a K discussed how fancy an apartment Jack Stern and his family live in,
mm-hmm.
and that he's might have a little more money than we thought, and he comes from money and everything? I think that there might be a little elitist in Jack Stern. And I think Jack Stern hearing a really rich Yankee executive have to basically be questioned by a peasant fan such as Bob.
Ah.
Maybe there was part of Jack that feels like, I don't know what his parents do for a living, but maybe coming from money, I don't like regular civilians talking to rich people and telling them what they should do.
So
I think there's something there.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know Jack's dad's first name, but
yeah.
Howard.
But Mr. and Mrs. Stern are walking into Le Cirque or whatever to have a nice dinner, and some regular person shouts about their business, and Jack feels uncomfortable as a young Jack Stern. Fast forward to today, and he hears this story, and he's defending Randy Levine. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. I think it's a real problem. So I'm going to declare this. Jack, not allowed at Bob's Bar that day.
Wow, man.
Official
Pete
ruling.
Kept him off the schedule. Official ruling. I can't have it. Look, be honest with you guys. I got enough problems with my family right now. I can't have Jack start at Bob's Bar.
I'm going to say this. The day of Bob's Bar, after the show ends, I'm going to be sipping some booze. I'm going to be sipping a lot of booze.
Okay. Is that a humble brag? We all are.
I know. Sean, you let me finish?
Ooh.
When there's alcohol, there's going to be things said that I probably shouldn't say.
You're saying a little truth serum might come out?
Oh, yeah.
But imagine, okay, that's fine. So, Boyle, I appreciate this. Imagine you guys all have fathers close to them. Boyle, who knows? He could be illegitimate. I don't know.
Wow. Illegitimate.
What is happening right now?
Just know this.
So you go from trashing Jack Stern for taking a shot at your family, now you're taking a shot at my family.
I'm not, actually. I'm joking around. You come from a good Irish family.
There you go.
He's not joking around. Can you, like, is it rude to sit there not knowing somebody's father and instead of just, like, kind of laughing along at a good story, just say your father sucks? I mean, I think that's rude.
I mean, he can't say it to you. If you tell the story and walk away and he goes to one of us, like, I can't believe Sean's dad would have done that. That's one thing. He still would have been wrong in taking it so seriously and being insulted by it. But he, like, challenged you to defend your dad. Like, he was right to your face. He was like,
right.
That's crappy. Why would he do that?
I was not in the mood for that point. Just get lost. And go back to Caserta's rant. He's right. 5:30 in the morning, nobody needs that. 2.5 hours sleep, I got to hear, you're wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, you're wrong. You can't do that. You can't do that. So that's the stuff we're dealing with behind the scenes. If you could tell, it's an off-the-rails Friday, Memorial Day weekend.
So he's banned.
He's banned. And I'm going to tell you what else. You know who else needs to start to get banned? Jack Stern is the leader of a club at something at work. And I think it's a club that you don't want to be in. A club we had to have a conversation with DA about, and he got out of the club. And that is, you cannot wear your work pass around your neck on a lanyard, or you're like Jack Stern.
Oh, yeah.
And people who do that and associate themselves like that, you are dweebs and nerds, and you cannot do that.
You're
so
not.
Just know. If you were a lanyard guy around your neck at work, you, like, what are you doing?
Are you talking about anybody in particular, Sean?
Oh,
I'm not
Greg is doing it. Why? Come on. You're better than this.
I always do this. I've done this every day. The only time I take.
Greg.
You can't.
You're wearing a lanyard on your neck.
When I do the Rome update.
Oh, I can't believe. How did I not notice this? I should have taken you aside.
Why would I go into my pocket every time and pull it out and, well,
Greg.
You know. Right, your own joke.
It's like not wearing a backpack at school and carrying your books. We get it. We see that you have books. What are you doing?
It's just convenience. I just move it towards the door and I get in. I don't have to reach into my pocket.
Greg, the little black bar that we need to scan it on is hip level. You're going to have to bend down. That's not convenient.
Yeah. But here's the thing now. Now I'm not going to take it off because then I'd be conforming to what you think is cool.
No.
And our definitions are very different.
Bogus and I agree on this. And DA, we had to have a conversation with DA. If you look around, do yourself a favor. You want to play this, Greg, now that you'll notice. Go around the office for the next 2 weeks with the lanyard around your neck and look at the people that wear their lanyards around their neck and look at the people that don't. And then you come back with a thesis and tell me we're not wrong. You don't want to be in the group of those people.
Yeah. Once you do the research, you are going to be on our side instantaneously.
But I've done this every day for the last 5 years, not counting the 18 months I wasn't.
And you should be thanking
here.
Us that we're having this conversation. With
yeah.
You.
And I'm sorry we didn't have it sooner.
Yeah. Like you guys could have told me earlier. You're telling me now in 2020. 23. I started here in 2018.
Maybe subconsciously. Don't forget, we weren't here for 18 months.
That's true.
So take a little chunk of that time out. But maybe subconsciously, I didn't want to see it because I liked you so much and I didn't want to judge you. That, like,
that's
my brain
what it was. That's definitely
blocking
it out.
Didn't
want to see it.
Now, forget me for a second. If you think I'm a corny, chubby, pale whale.
I don't think any of those things.
Forget
you're
bogus
tan.
For a second.
I think some of them, but okay.
Bogus, a mid-40s hacky sack kicking balding,
never
failed
a hacky
play-by-play
sack,
man.
And I'm not mid-40s yet.
I think he just turned 40.
No. But I'm not mid-40s yet.
Forget us for a second. Look over at Pat Boyle right now. Is Pat Boyle not considered one of the coolest guys in our building?
I mean, on this show, he's one of the coolest guys. I don't know if I'd go over the whole building.
Can you tell me what's
Have
around Pat Boyle's neck right now?
Have you ever been on the sales side of the floor? Have you seen how cool the people are over there?
And those guys don't wear their passes around their necks.
Yeah, exactly. They're so cool. They got us taken off the stock exchange.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, why? How can you wear a lanyard on your neck when you're never in the building?
Jeez. Well,
there's been some real moments in the first 90 minutes of this show. Boyle hates other people here. Caserta really hates Jack. We hate the sales department. Sean took a shot at Boyle's parents' relationship. We haven't left Pete alone. He just had a kid. There's some meanness going on right now. Like, the doors are opening. Some real feelings right now.
Yep, they are. So anyway, Boyle not wearing a lanyard on his neck. No. This also could be Boyle's last day here based on comments.
True.
855-212-4227.
And seriously, this is the only scientific thing Sean has ever done in his life, and he got to the right answer. He looked around, and he saw the characters, the Ray Martells of the world, that wear their pass around their neck. It's just not a
Jack.
Jack is the new one. I was guilty of it as a young man, and I saw the light. You can't have your pass around your neck. You just can't.
Yep. Okay.
It's in my wallet. My wallet touches that the little reader is hip high. I'm gonna take it out of my pocket.
You I just assumed I couldn't hoop because I'm
touch my pants to the wall and I'm in wherever I need to go. So looking just, as cool as ever.
So like you scrape your pocket up against the wall.
Yep.
You're doing like a mini Pete Alonso.
I give it a little hip check or a little dry something or other, and I'm in the room, right inside.
A little hump.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of humps, let's get over it with Greg here.
Yeah, hump city right here.
Well, by the way, no tuba. Instead, I get an outward laugh from Boyle.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
that was
really good. Listen, they're not all going to be terrible. Some of them you're going to unintentionally have a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Celtics beat the Heat last night, 110-97. That series is now 3-2. You know, we talked about it. We're running out of time. We got Stuntua news coming up. So you look at the Celtics last night.
Don't be mad at the update. Just do.
No, I know. I just don't like the NBA. Four Celtics last night, top 20 points. And, of course, Jason Tatum with 21, Jaylen Brown with 21. One of the things for Miami was limited production from Bam Adebayo. He still was second on the team with 16 points, led the way with 8 rebounds. But was limited, 8 of 15 from the field. Jimmy Butler, minus 24 on the floor, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I mentioned in the last update that he was 5 for 10 from the field, and that game now goes back to Miami, 3-2 on Saturday night. There you go. Wouldn't be a day without some NFL news.
I didn't feel your heart was into it, but we'll give it to you.
Thank you. Wouldn't be a day without some NFL news. One of my favorites in sports, the disgruntled number one wide receiver. Even better, the disgruntled wide receiver who walks his comments back. Enter the Raiders' Devontae Adams.
You can grab something and run with it if you want, just, you know, to get clicks. And that's what people often do with me and things that I say, whether I misspeak or if I speak up. But at the end of the day, I'm a Raider, and I'm excited to be here. I love my head coach, and I love the general manager here and everybody. I mean, from the top to the bottom.
Nothing better than playing audio we just played. It's great.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of sent me to Josh McDaniels because I don't know how anybody could love him. 17-28 career record as a head coach. Said he had no issue with Adams, saying that he and the team didn't see eye to eye on the direction of the franchise.
Thing I'd say about a player like Devontae, and we have many other players in the same category, is they have an opinion and a voice because they've earned it. And I respect the hell out of anything that they would say or suggest or anything like that during the course of the process of trying to improve our team.
This is such a lanyard guy move, Sean. Like, he's complaining that there's no time for the update, but he just spent a minute on something that we just did.
Greg has his good days. Greg has his bad days.
Yeah, I would say so. Let's get stunned.
Did the Orioles win last night, Greg?
It doesn't take much to surprise this
Diamondback
bouncing score, baby boy.
Diamondback
this
score.
Is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on
Can
the
I get
show
a hockey
to
score? I'm
a
not getting
news.
Bacon.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I'll be the first to admit this is my worst performance in the history of the show since I've
no,
been
well,
this.
Guess what? You didn't play a Long Island Ducks highlight, so you're okay.
I got two updates left. You don't also, tell me.
Yeah, and you wrote a new script, so you're ahead of the game as well.
So here we go. I love my food stories. Yesterday it was apple pie and cherry pie. Today it's a Hot Pocket. In Kentucky, a man in Louisville is facing an assault charge after shooting his roommate in the ass during a fight about eating their last Hot Pocket. Clifton Williams got angry Saturday and began throwing tiles at his roommate after the roommate ate the last Hot Pocket. The roommate said he tried to fight back before telling Williams he was leaving. As he was leaving, Mr. Williams went inside the residence and got a gun, then shot his roommate, and this is from the CNN article, in the ass while he was trying to leave. The roommate then went a few blocks away to get help, Williams being held on a $7,500 bond and a Jefferson Circuit court clerk.
Wow, how scarce must food be in that house? I'd love to know, A, the flavor Hot Pocket, and B, did the guy even burn his mouth? Because Hot Pockets never heat up evenly.
Well, it got me thinking, what food item would drive you to something so mad?
Yeah, I will defend the guy to this extent. That is a, for me, like a top five anger. Like when you know there's something in the fridge or the freezer and you've been thinking about it all day, like I'm going to go home and reheat that for lunch or whatever. And then somebody beats you to it, whether it's a college roommate or your partner, whatever, a kid. Like, that's a real anger, but it should probably stop shy of tossing tiles, let alone shooting guns.
Yeah.
You're definitely right. That is that right when you're thinking about it, you're starving. You don't pull off anywhere. I have this at home.
Right.
Boom, and then it's gone. And a lot of times it might be something that I didn't finish at a restaurant, like a leftover, and then I'll come home and Danielle's eating my leftover.
That's almost illegal by itself.
Yeah, it's like, what do you, that was mine. I would have finished it at the restaurant if I knew you were going to finish it here.
Right.
So yeah. I order Domino's probably once every 2 months. I'll usually order it to the house very late on a Saturday night. Don't even go there.
Oh, I'm with you.
It's fine. And what I'll do is I'll eat half the pizza, and then I'll put the other half in foil and bury it at the bottom of the freezer. And occasionally, Aaron will tell me, oh, so I ate some of the Domino's that was in the freezer, and that really bugs me. I've punched holes through the drywall, as you saw by my anger before. I'm a very angry person.
Wow.
Have not thrown tiles yet, but today could be the day. We don't know.
Do you have free tiles in your house to throw?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sean, did you say, is that why the cat has three legs?
That is why. What I said,
I threw the cat once.
By the way, this is a real story. Growing up, basically where my dad lives, Bob's Bar. Well, he lives in a house. The bar's in the backyard. The next block over, there was, and it's a relatively very safe neighborhood for the most part, there was a shooting many years ago, might even be 10 years ago now, between two brothers, and a guy died. One of the brothers died. A brother shot the other brother. And the story came out. The guy got shot because he took the last beer in the fridge, and he died.
Huh.
How crazy is that? Shooting your brother because he took the last beer in the fridge, and he dies. And the guy and the other brother obviously is in jail for the rest of his life. The house has since been sold. They swapped up the blood, and now there's new people there.
That seems to be a bit much.
Yeah, I would agree. So, things happen, man. Don't take the last of anything, including The Last of Us, now streaming on Max. All right, when we come back.
What a plug.
Oh, my.
It's not funny.
Hit me with a tuba.
Why? Well, on that note, we ask, are Russell Wilson's jokes cornier than Mraz's? It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mraz and Bogus, just summer Friday. Memorial Day weekend is here. You know, Russell Wilson yesterday, as we're hearing all these quarterbacks and teams speak at OTAs, he looks to have lost a little weight. I never thought he was really pudgy. But Russell Wilson had a comment, Bogues, when asked about a reporter losing weight. You know, you feel good, you feel should be said, I'm ready, I'm lean and mean. Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
It's not funny.
So there you have it, Bogues. Lean and mean. Is Russell Wilson just continuing to be a corny disgrace? How can the Broncos win with this guy? He's cornier than me, right?
I don't know. He seems to try less than you do, which is, I guess, is a plus for him. This is not constant. He did leave off Fighting Machine yesterday, so he didn't go all
mean Fighting Machine.
But it takes us back to, and again, you couldn't have done it either, but the fact that he's able to land and keep Ciara with this kind of personality is a shocking thing. I can't imagine she's laughing at I'm lean and I'm mean. When he goes home, when he's workshopping these jokes, she's not laughing along with
him. She's got to be gold digging him, right?
Why? I don't
think
so.
Ciara, she's got the goodies.
And not anymore. Not anymore. She doesn't. When's the last time she put out a song?
Ciara was in a song last year, I think. I think she had a new album. She had a big album release.
Yeah, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, then.
What, cause
if a Montreal falls on Apple Music with Ciara.
I look. We. we wonder, right, about a couple of these teams in the AFC. But it's almost like we've written off the idea that the Broncos can't make the playoffs. Is Russell Wilson just officially a joke for the rest of his career, and we're never going to see the best of him again? Is that it?
Well,
we've written him off after last year?
There's no separating the two. I don't think that he's now a useless quarterback. I do think that maybe he just needed a change of scenery, and maybe he needed a little kick in the backside to pick things up a little bit here. I don't know that he goes back to being super dynamic Russell Wilson. But he's never not going to be this. Like he's never going to stop making those jokes. There's going to be something else during the season, so he's always going to be annoying in that way, which I think that makes us want to not be nice to him as a football player.
But does Sean Payton get tired of it?
I think Sean Payton might already not find it entertaining.
Why? Why? Why does he not find it entertaining?
Because it's not entertaining.
Yeah, but still, he could laugh at it. He could side with his quarterback. He could do what the Raiders are doing with Davante Adams.
Right, but he's already walked in and kicked out Russell's entourage. Yeah.
Bottom line is this. If he's gone at the end of this year, I don't know where Russell Wilson finds another home to be as corny as he can be in Denver. He's lean and mean, folks. He's lean and mean.
Russell and the landfill.
All right, when we come back, a little cat call. Are superstitions dying in sports? Sports, 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 sports. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.